recruiting animal here. I hope that wasn't too loud. It's hard for me to judge. Sometimes I get complaints, sometimes I don't. Anyway, it's May 13th, 1-3-2009. Maureen Sherub will be here at 1 p.m. with the Telephone Sourcing Show. But first, of course, I want to talk about something. And the topic I want to talk about today is an old prejudice, an ancient prejudice that is enjoying an incredible run of popularity again. And this prejudice, what is it? This prejudice is ageism. Ageism. And the new form it's taken is anti-boomerism. Did you hear me? Anti-boomerism. And the main culprits, of course, are Gen Y and its middle-aged boosters like Mark Liston, the famous generational con man. Now, Mark Liston, I can tell you, personally, is not a bad guy, at least from what I've seen of him online. But listen to this. Because nobody thinks the baby boomers are going to suffer from derogatory remarks, they don't think they're going to suffer, so they just let it run free, and there's a whole body right now of anti-boomer hate literature online. And in fact, I claim that the word boomer has become such a vehicle for disrespect that if we were smart, we wouldn't use it anymore. Excuse me, we would not use it anymore. Instead, you know what we would call it? We would call it the B word. The B word. And I'm going to tell you why, of course. Because first of all, baby boomer is a ridiculous term. It describes a period during which there was a high birth rate. And that period extends over about 20 years almost, from 1946 to 1964. And that doesn't mean, just because there was a high birth rate, though, that it's very good. It's a good idea. That's what I want to say. It doesn't mean it's a good idea to lump everybody born during that 18-year period into one cultural group. But that's what's happening. So look, I want to talk about the 1960s for a second. Isn't that considered to be the classic boomer decade? Yes, it is. But look at this, pals. Most of the icons of the 1960s, most of the superstars of the 1960s were not baby boomers. They were not baby boomers. No way. They were born during World War II or even before the war. You know what? Still having problems with my voice. I've lost my capacity, so bear with me. Those baby boomers, those alleged baby boomers, listen to this. John Lennon and Ringo Starr, born 1940. Bob Dylan, born 1941. Paul McCartney, 1942. George Harrison, the youngest Beatle, 1943. Now let's look at the political sphere. Abbie Hoffman, I don't know if you guys know who he is or was, 1936. He's born in 36. Jane Fonda, Hanoi Jane, 1937. Jerry Rubin, 1938. Timothy Leary, the LSD guy, 1920. And look at Gracie Slick from Jefferson Airplane, the singer. They didn't become famous till the end of the 60s. She's born in 1939. So when did the actual baby boomers become famous? In the 1970s, yes! And the culture had already changed from the 1960s. You got the early punks. I know I'm going on. Give me a break. Patti Smith, 1946. Joey Ramone, 1951. Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, 1956. And Donna Summer, the disco queen, miles away from the punkers, I'd say, 1948. So let's go 10 years further into the early 1980s. You got Madonna. I know I'm giving you a lecture. Just bear with me. Come on. 1959 for Madonna. And Boy George, remember him? 1961. We're still talking about the baby boomers. You could have been born in 1956 and had a baby when you were 18 in 1964, and both you and your kid would be baby boomers. But you might have been listening to Elvis Presley, who was born in 1935, and your kid would be a fan of Kurt Cobain, who was born in 1967, 30 years after Elvis. So let me ask you this. Oh, this is something else I want to mention. One more thing. If the baby boomers were so radical like they were supposed to be in the 1960s, tell me this. Who voted for Richard Nixon in 1972? He took 49 out of 50 states in the United States, and that was the first election, listen to this, in which 18-year-old people had to vote. So if you were born before 1955, you could vote in 1972. So there was a really large voting population under 30, and Nixon won by a landslide. Are you getting the picture? Just because there was a baby boom between 1946 and 1964, that doesn't mean everyone born during that period was the same. So all of those people, like Mark, who are talking their heads off about baby boomers so indiscriminately, who are they talking about? The people who wore those peace signs back in the 1960s, or the people who wore swastikas 10 years later? Now, I got to get on with the show, but you better believe it. I'm going to come back to this again. Anyway, about that show, I didn't have anybody booked this week, so I put a note on Twitter asking for a guest, and really I was looking for a third-party recruiter, because I know a lot about that. I don't have to prepare, no research, but who puts up his hand first? This guy, Thomas Shaw, in Australia. And like I had turned him down once before, so I said, okay, let's do it. But what does it turn out? He is not a third-party recruiter. He's an online recruitment specialist. I don't know what that means, so I had to start doing some research, and I still don't know. And what do? I end up asking myself, why on earth does everything have to go wrong? On Jerry, are you there? What show are we listening to?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thomas Shaw, all the way over there in Australia. Are you there?
She knew her stuff. That was the problem. And that
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm here.
You're here. Can anybody hear Thomas Shaw?
You didn't have to tell how great her stuff was.
Who's talking there behind Thomas? Come on, shut up.
He was in the study.
I'm going to have Tom. Are you there still?
Yeah, I'm certainly here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, well, you talk into the microphone. Just make sure. And there's some goof talking in the background. I'm going to have to mute a bunch of lines in a minute to find out who it is. Anyway, let me ask you something. Are you shut up, mister? Are you crazy, Tom? What time is it in Australia right now?
It's 2 a.m. Thursday morning, so that's 12 hours ahead of you.
Okay, let me just try to... to mute somebody here, okay? Somebody's talking about their stupid study. Can everybody hear that guy? Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear him.
I'm going to try to mute him. Hold on.
Try muting yourself also.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Who's that? Who's talking like that to me?
That was the first thing I was.
Who do you think it is, Kellerman?
Oh, it's him. I don't know. What's your
name,
coach?
It's
Steve Levy.
It's
is that
him.
Levy? Oh, my
yes.
God. What's up, Mr. Clean?
Okay. Who is this? Oh, I know who this is.
I think we got it off. I think we got the person off. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yep.
Okay, and it's 2 a.m. in Australia. Is there some special reason you wanted to be on at this time?
He's an Aussie. What the hell else? He's down a couple of pots and schooners. He can't go to sleep. What the hell else do you think is wrong with him?
Hey, what are you on, dope today? Come on, let him answer.
No, I'm listening to a dope. I'm not on dope.
You can barely hear the guy. Listen, I got a question for him. I want to ask him first. This was a big topic last night on Twitter. Tom, are you there? Do you like Michelle Obama's arms? You know Michelle Obama? She's got these famous arms now. Do you like them?
Are they flabby?
No, they're muscular. You know, I have to tell you.
Yeah, they're muscular like I'm Canadian.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna mute. This is Tom's turn, Steve. Can you hold on
okay.
a second? Just let
yes,
me
I
get
can.
That out.
Tom, okay. my apologies.
Yeah. Lori Rudiman, or however she says her name, yesterday she told me on Twitter that Linda Hamilton could have crushed, she said, she could crush you between her two fingers. And then she told me, she wrote an article about women who bully
people. She wasn't
people.
Talking about fingers there, animal. Sorry.
I don't know.
Apologize.
Listen, Steve Levy, I am going to mute you. I'm talking to Tom. Tom.
Oh, STF. Go STFU.
You still there? Tom.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, forget about Michelle, okay? And I'm going to forget about Helena Bonham Carter as well, because I wanted to talk about her. Let you know, these guys can't shut up. I'm going to see who's here to visit with you, okay? So, Tom Shaw in Australia, are you area code 614?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. 260, Jerry Albright, verbalsummary.com. Want to say hi to Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jerry, how you going?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Carl Chapman, the executive restaurant recruiter, CECsearch.com. Want to say hi to Tom in Australia?
Hi, Tom in Australia.
Okay.
Good morning to you.
Right. Somebody's at the beach or something
Australian
like that.
There.
There's so much noise in the background. It's
somebody's at
crazy.
A construction site.
Well, I'm going to close off everybody
for
a while.
It's probably Levy.
Okay. Jason
probably.
Davis, you want to say hi to Tom?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Jason, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as
yeah.
well.
Okay, Steve Levy, want to say hi to Tom Shaw in Australia?
Tom, good morning to you, my friend.
Get it out, Steve.
Good
so
morning to you.
Just get it out so you stop interrupting him, okay?
Fine.
Okay. Maureen, want to say hi? Queen Bee of
hey,
Telephone
Tom,
Sourcing?
We're looking forward to you today.
NameSourcer.com.
Hi, Maureen, you're one of my favorites.
I'm looking forward to you
oh,
today.
Oh, boy, he's smart. Okay, you know, Maureen, your buddy there is going to get the axe. You're in charge of him, okay?
Am I the only you're one that's been drinking all day?
Okay. 718.
That's why you're so quiet, Jerry.
Area code 718, that is Dave. I'm positive. Dave Manister, the kingfish of ERE.net. Are you there?
I am, Michael.
Say hi to Tom in Australia.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Dave, do you have some kind of gig in Australia as well?
I do not, but I'd love to visit.
Okay. So, area code 203, didn't call on that person. Want to say hi?
Hello, Tom. How are you? This is Steve again.
I'm good, thanks.
I just got
area
muted.
Area code 203, want to say hi? No. Okay.
Michael,
let
that's me.
713. This is the guy I turned off. Area code 713. Want to say hi to Tom? Okay. Tom, let's get down to business. This has been a very raucous beginning. I won't do any sing-along, although, do you know Love to Love You, Baby by Donna Summer?
Love to Love You, Baby.
Yeah, who's that? It's a good song, and it's easy. Love to Love You, Baby. Hey. Okay. Okay, Tom, let's introduce you. Who are you? Okay, you are a graduate of Swinburne University of Technology. Am I right?
Yes.
Many years ago.
Well, no, it looks to me like you graduated in 2005. Am I right?
Yeah, but that's only like, that's 4 years plus now.
4 years ago. You're a punk. I don't know what you're going to know.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're going to know to tell us. And here's the thing that surprises me.
He could be a late bloomer, Michael.
Hey, he's already offering consulting services. He's been out of school 4 years, and he's a consultant.
But he could be a late bloomer. He could have a whole.
He's a guy's not 25.
He could have a whole legacy in front of him.
Tom, how old are you? How old are you?
26.
Oh,
okay.
Well.
There you go.
You're right, animal.
Josh, Albright has underwear older than you.
I got to tell you, everybody here could be your father or mother.
Who's your daddy,
yep.
baby? Who's
Steve.
Your daddy?
Daddy, yeah. Okay.
I
now,
would just be your older brother, Tom.
Or in
okay,
Maureen's case,
listen,
grandmother.
Tom.
Yep.
Okay, you know, you guys are wild today. It's
buckle up, Steve. You're in for a rough ride.
He's
anytime
the guy.
You've
okay.
got an international guest on animal, it gets everybody kind of riled up.
Wow, I guess it's that air from Australia. But anyway, this is his background, even if he's not listening. He was in organizational development at the city of Kingston, whatever that means. He was a recruiter.
It means he held meetings.
Yeah, IT recruitment consultant at Global Service Consulting Services. I don't know how long. He was an executive account manager at Retail World Resourcing. I guess that's a staffing firm. Resourcing must be staffing. Am I right about that, Tom? Have I said anything?
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
And right now you're the founder and managing director of Recruitment Directory. Do you want to tell us what that is and what you do?
Yeah, look, I work with job boards and many recruitment agencies across Australia and also New Zealand on online recruitment and technology. That's my forte.
Okay, so you're a consultant on online recruitment and technology. Am I right?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm struggling to hear you, so that's if I'm shouting, that's why. I think if I shout more, you'll be able to hear me.
More than fine.
Hey, who the hell is that?
Somebody's standing behind a dump truck.
No,
that was
I didn't call.
No, I just got in the car. Give it a break.
678, is that you?
No, it's not me, Animal.
Who's 678?
Jenny Devon.
Who is it? Oh, Jenny Devon. Jenny Devon, the referral queen down in Atlanta. Okay, so who's making that noise? I don't know. Anyway, let's try. I'll have to put everybody off soon. This is getting to be a boring show. Tom, I just, I'll give you the floor to you, okay? When I asked you for material for the show, you said, I'm sure you will find a lot of juicy stuff in my blog postings. I looked at your blog postings. I didn't find anything juicy there. Mostly they seem to be instructing people in the basics of social media. Am I right or wrong? Is there something juicy? If there is, it's your chance to bring it forward now.
No, I think you haven't read it correctly because there's great content and information in there. Look, there's problems with job boards.
Come on,
there's problems
tell
with
us,
social
what is the juicy stuff?
Well, it depends. You can go there and read yourself. You know, we've got 200 articles in the past 6 months.
Jeez.
And, you know, recruitmentdirectory.com.
Don't make me swear. Don't make me mad. Don't you know the rule on the show? First rule, don't make me mad. Hey, somebody else want to ask him a question? He's frustrating me. Jerry, ask him something, okay?
You got to give us something here, Tom. We can't just all sit here and read your blog while we're talking to you. Tell us something. Lay something on us.
Yeah, look.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, look, what I really want to talk about is let's talk about job boards and the differences between the Australia and what's going on in the U.S. at the moment. Well,
cool.
Tell us what's happening in the U.S. market. Like, I can tell you what's happening here in Australia. I'll give you some content and some information about, you know, the mergers and acquisitions that have been going on. And also, you know, there's heaps of differences between the two countries, which I'd love to get to know more.
What'd you say? There's lots of differences?
Lots of differences. Like,
talk into the microphone, will you? Tell us something about Australia. Look, here, I'll tell you something that's of interest to me, okay? I was just reading about PeopleToucher.com. That's an advanced search engine for LinkedIn, or a LinkedIn search engine on steroids, supposedly. Have you heard about that site? PeopleToucher.com.
I've looked at it before, yes.
What do you think?
It's okay.
It's nothing
special. Would you use it in your day-to-day recruitment work, though?
I guess so. Has anybody here used it? Speak up. Anybody use PeopleToucher.com?
Sounds
no.
pornographic. I'm going to stay away from it.
Okay. Well, let me say, you know, you're an online recruitment guy.
I'm a family man.
Tom,
yep.
I was reading that this guy, the owner there, the CEO, Chris Pomeroy, he's got a blog. It's pretty good. And he gave a sampling. Who's eating their lunch and crinkling a bag? Maureen, is that your friend? Now, anyway, listen, he gave a sampling. This is like the wildest show in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
He gave a sampling of groups on LinkedIn. Tom, he gave a sampling of groups on LinkedIn that you can go there,
yep.
And they're all groups for open networkers. I didn't know a lot of them. It surprised me. TopLink.com, I know that. Lions, I know that. But then there's Leading International Open Networkers. I guess that's another version of Lion. There's OpenNetworker.com, InvitesWelcome.com, Lion500.com, and Let's Connect. There's like a million of these open network groups. I never heard of them. Do you recommend them to your clients?
Well, in Australia, most actual recruiters don't actually use LinkedIn. The percentage of LinkedIn users in Australia is quite low, which is quite surprised. You know, there are the smart recruiters here, and it's mostly the IT and accounting sectors we use LinkedIn to source candidates, but most don't. it's quite surprising. So, you know, Line and Link and Top Linked are good networks, but sometimes you've got too many candidates in your network. Like, LinkedIn's got certain purposes that we use it for, but we don't use it for everything.
How many, hold on, you cannot, how can you have too many people in your network? The more people you have, the more people, the larger is your database, the searchable database on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's correct, but most agencies, there's a lot of difference between the US and of course Australia, but most agencies will actually have that data on their internal database. They won't actually allow clients, the actual resources to have them as personal contacts. They'd prefer it as an organization-owned candidate, not the actual recruiter.
Okay. I don't know. Are we talking at cross purposes? Here's something else I didn't know, that LinkedIn has imposed a $30,000 a person connection limit. Did you know about that?
We thought it was there's not many top recruiters in Australia on LinkedIn. I think the top person has only got, 20,000 connections plus. But most will average around the 500 mark. But they
the
really
top
won't
person
have that
is
many
Stan Relihan, right? That's Stan Relihan, the radio guy?
Yep, up in Sydney,
okay.
Yep.
Okay, Maureen, did you know about that 30,000 limit? She's gone.
No, I'm here. No,
okay,
I didn't know.
Well, wake up then. Did you know about the 30,000 limit?
I did not know.
Did anybody know about that 30,000 limit?
Yes, I heard that from Shelley. I heard that from Shelley because Shelley has over 30,000.
He's got over. Shelley has over 30,000, right?
Correct, and I heard it from Sally person to person. We were at an event, and he said that they did not give him any warning. They just limited it to 30,000 first-level contacts.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't make any difference to 99.9% of the population anyway. Anybody got a comment on that?
Can you still have second-level contacts?
Yes, but he cannot literally invite anybody else to his network now.
But he's got
really?
30,000 first-level? Can
he
have...
He's way over 30,000 first-level.
Did they knock him back?
They did not knock him back. He can't add anybody.
Okay. Now, can he have 30,000 first level and 50,000 second level, or how does that work, do you know?
I think the limit is just on first level.
Hey, Maureen, use your mathematics a bit. If he's got 30,000 people first level, he's going to have millions second level. Come on,
mm-hmm.
Steve. Keep her in line,
right,
will you?
Right.
Okay, here's something else. Tom, something else I want to talk about. I don't know if it's of interest to you. Are you with me? Tom.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Thomas Shaw, okay.
He's nodding off, man. It's almost 2:30.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
No, fine. I can hear you perfectly.
Well, okay. Well, I can't hear you. So listen to me. Have you ever investigated the rules about losing the rights to your content when you put it on a social media site? Because I was reading an article that everybody should read. I put it on my Twitter page, @Animal, if you want to read it there. When you put something on LinkedIn, this is their notice, you grant irrevocable, worldwide, perpetual, unlimited, assignable, sub-licensable, fully paid up, and royalty-free right for them to copy, prepare derivative works of, improve, distribute, publish, remove, retain. They take full control of whatever you put on their site. Now, LinkedIn, you're not usually put on too much stuff. But if you put on questions and answers, they own those, okay? Did you know that?
But that's the same policy that Facebook brought out, that's only like 3 months ago plus. It's exactly
that's
the
right.
same privacy policy. And they were saying, whatever you put on their site, because they create the site and they host the data, is theirs to use. And that's why the policy backlash happened. And the same thing for MySpace, the same thing for Bebo. And guess with Twitter as well. It's the same problem we're going to have.
What do you think of that?
I think it's – well, again, it's one, the one question is the person who's putting it on there, the actual content, the copyright holder, has agreed in the terms and conditions when they originally signed up for it to say, yes, we will accept your terms and conditions. So the onus actually is correct on the actual site having control of the data. Now, ethically, is that correct or is it good or bad? Well, it depends. It comes down to what the company is actually going to use it for. What would LinkedIn use that data for from now on besides marketing and research? Would you have any idea about that?
Nope.
No, well, Facebook. What about the photos you put onto your Facebook?
I
have
no
clue.
I don't know. But what do you tell your clients when you go and give people advice? Do you set them up on Facebook and LinkedIn?
Yeah, we've set them up on Facebook. We created applications probably, you know, we set it up 12 months ago when we were doing the Facebook applications.
Now, do you advise them about these concerns?
I did. And it's the same thing for background checking candidates online. I say, whatever you're going to put on the net, you've just got to be careful. It's content that can be distributed and can't be deleted. So you've got to be very, very careful. So the main thing we told our clients is mostly have a plan of what you're going to put online and be very careful about what you're going to put there. You know, it's the same thing with open networks and shared networks. If you've got an Ethernet or you've got open document share, what happens if someone hacks into Google and you've got all your Google documents on there? Whose fault would that be? Is it Google's fault or is it your own fault for putting those documents on there? It's a paradox question.
Yeah, that's a different issue. Okay. Now, before I go on, do you want to raise an issue?
Me? Not really. Well, I've got one thing.
Yes, there is. You want to talk about job boards, right?
I do. I want to talk about job boards. Now, we've got
what
Monster coming into Australia.
I'm in charge. Wait. What do you want to say about job boards? I gave you a chance. You didn't say anything. Now you say, what is it exactly you want to say about job boards?
Well, tell me about Monster, because Monster's coming to Australia. You know that, don't you?
You tell us. We don't tell you, okay? Tell
Tom,
us about Australia.
Tom, I told you got to be ready for the animal.
Well, Jerry. Or
yeah,
Steve Levy.
He's
Levy. Are you still
here?
He's
queued up every potential guest in the U.S. and Canada, so that's why you've seen. Last week there was some guy from U.K., Australia, now twice.
Steve Levy, are you still there?
Come on.
No, he's gone. Carl Chapman, you're still there, right?
I am.
Ask him a question. You take over a bit, okay? I'm having problems with this guy. He's unruly.
Okay, well, it sounded to me like you wanted to talk about job boards. So, Monster's coming to Australia. What does that mean for you?
Well, it means a few things. Like, Monster's teamed up with Career One to launch that site again. And you know, Monster's already tried once in Australia and failed. And I'm just wondering if there's anything new that they're going to bring into Australia, because, you know, JobFox has failed, of course, here. And will Resume Pal fail as well?
How are we supposed to know, Tom? You're
Monster is past its prime. Just ask Cheesehead. He's made a living proclaiming the death of Monster. It's over. It's over. Hey, I've got a question for Tommy.
Go ahead.
Okay, you're an online recruitment consultant. Am I getting that correct?
That's correct. Yep.
That whole entire world intrigues me. That, along with career coaching and that kind of stuff. Can you tell me about your last client, what you did for them, or what they paid you for?
Yeah,
which
mostly
might not
it's
be
around
the same as what you did for them.
No, mostly it's around and the strategy of how the actual, we'll take the recruitment firm who actually engaged me to do the work. They wanted to work out not only their online marketing, so how their website processed an application when someone applied online, and then their integration into the job boards. So the passing of the resume from someone applying for it into their database, as well as going back and working out the social network. So let's set up the actual recruiter across, you know, Facebook, create a Facebook application where they can post their jobs and integrate. Then a Twitter feed with a Twitter application and even going back into, you know, back into 2007 stuff like, you know, MySpace applications. That sort of, you know, the online technical side
How do you then measure and quantify what you've done for them in terms of increased productivity? Is it, you know, volume of resumes? Or, I mean, how do you, at the end of that project, say, great, we did it? Well, what is how do you measure that?
Yeah, we measure the ROI on various things. So one is cost, how much cost saving we're going to do, and that could be either resources and productivity. Can it cut consultants' time, which is a big factor here in Australia? You know, we want consultants out there, you know, selling and actually you know, having more chat time with the actual candidates and clients instead of actually processing resumes and reading this stuff, because, you know, Australia is behind in some technology aspects, you know, resume parsing, and even phone sourcing. You know, we don't really do much phone sourcing here in Australia, which is unbelievable.
Hmm. Okay.
Hey, Maureen, are you listening?
I hear it.
Maureen was going to take over Australia a couple months ago. How's that going, Maureen? Remember that?
Set up an office there?
Yeah.
Well, I don't need to set up an office there. I've sourced in Australia.
Yeah, because I was listening to it last time. We were all listening in here in Australia when Maureen was talking about, you know, coming to Australia and setting up, I think it was Maureen Down Under. and, you know, it's such a great
idea.
Another
popular topic.
Another topic.
Okay. Jerry, are you done?
I'm just
Jerry,
getting
are you
started.
Done? Okay, ask another question.
No.
Go ahead. He's answering you. He won't answer me.
Well, because you haven't asked him a question. You've
well,
only...
Let
you've
me
only,
ask Tom. Let me ask a question.
You've
go
made,
ahead. Go
Tom,
ahead,
why don't they phone source in Australia?
Sorry?
Why don't they phone source there?
Probably the main reason is it's a sales driven market at the moment where recruiters, you know, will just post an ad onto a job board and wait for resumes to come through. Whereas, you know, the contracting market, you know, I used to be in IT contracting and I love phone sourcing. You know, we could only use our database to find candidates. But, you know, the new recruiters and the sales recruiters will go straight to posting an ad and waiting for people to apply for it. That's it. You know, they don't have the guts to pick up the phone and have an intelligent conversation and having a social conversation at the same time and just making that connection. But they won't do that. They'll just they slack and they won't get around and do it.
Are they shy? Is that it?
No, I don't think recruiters in Australia are shy. I just don't think that the priorities are there where technology is too easy to use and they won't go back to the basics, which is, you know, the basic communication skills, which is, you know, engaging with someone and those very, very basic social actions. And, you know, that's where the U.S. thrives in sourcing.
Okay. Maureen, you got another one for him?
No, I'm finished.
Carl, do you have something for him?
I thought it was interesting. He said that in Australia they're behind technologically, and I'm fascinated as to why that might be. Since we have a common language, it doesn't seem like there's anything mm-hmm. that would keep them from being able to use the same resume parsing technology, et cetera, that we have here. So what's up with that?
I think one of the main problems we have is the vendors find the market quite small. You know, we're only 23 million here in Australia, but, you know, the actual number of recruitment agencies is only, it's less than 3,000. And, you know, all up, that's, you know, that's probably, you know, 7,000 to 10,000 recruiters. So it could be actually a small market. You know, we don't see, you know, Broadbean from the UK here in Australia. You know, JobFox only came in because it was a quite a large, you know, a deal with my career. But, you know, we don't see, the college market is very, very small. You know, we've only got one major player here in Australia, which is GradConnection.com. But if you look at the US market, even the college, you know, there's 10 different college websites, you know, all promoting college careers after uni. I just think vendors aren't seeing an attractiveness of the Australian market.
Okay. You know what? There's companies like Drake that I know are in the United States and Canada, and they're in Australia too. If it's a worldwide company, don't you think they're going to be using the same technology all around the world?
Yeah, look, some do, but most don't. You know, those larger firms with multinational offices.
Okay,
will
hold
have
on, forget
technology.
About that. I got a question for you. I did find something juicy on your blog that I did point out to myself to ask you. You had an article, and maybe Carl knows something about this, on deceptive keyword bidding. Deceptive keyword bidding. And you said that's adding keyword tags to your job advertisements, and somehow that positions them off some other company. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, look, it's a very questionable area. It's Google Ads, and what you're really doing is you're bidding against someone's brand name or trademark. So in some of the examples I had there, it's mostly around you have a competitor, so you're bidding on the actual competitor's trade name, and you could be either being deceptive about it, saying, you know, here is the product, or, you know, this is a competitor, or this is why we are better than such and such product.
And again, it's bringing into question if deceptive or ethical.
So I can bid on your name, Thomas Shaw, or Recruitment Directory, even though I'm your competitor. I could get the first for sponsored search. My name would come at the top of a list when someone searched your company. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, look, it's allowed in the USA. You've of course got different privacy.
I'm not in the USA.
Laws,
get this straight. I'm not in the USA. Okay. I got to tell you something. Cheesehead was doing that a few years ago. He would buy names of some of the popular people on the recruited sphere. I remember he had Jerry Crispin and some other people. And if someone searched their name, his name, the name would come up on the right-hand margin of Google. I got a posting about it, but it would link to his site. That's what you're talking about. Am I right?
That's correct.
Is that a good idea, or can you use that in your job advertisements in some productive way? That's what I want to ask you.
No. Look, if you think about it, would the actual job seekers, is it worth the money and the actual time? Because, again, when you're looking for job seekers, you're wanting maybe like a fast turnover. So those pay-per-click listings, it's not worth it. If you're doing a product, you know, say a vendor product, it will be worth it, but not an actual, you know, job seeking, it wouldn't be worth it, no.
Okay, so if you're an accounting firm, it's not good to buy the first rights to Deloitte & Touche or PricewaterhouseCoopers, right?
Well, of course, they're trademarks, so it would be illegal to do that.
Oh, that's illegal. Okay, so great. Okay, so
let's can I add something to that?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Jason Davis, splits.org.
Yeah. Splits.org,
that's your new URL.
So a couple months ago, I bought a couple domain names.
Louder, talking to the phone.
Okay, so a couple months ago, I bought a couple domain names all around sourcing, and one of them that I didn't buy for this very reason was, I think it was LinkedIn Sourcing or something like that, and it was cheap, you know, $500 or something like that, but I just figured, like, how much is it worth investing in that if, you know, they might just come back and say, hey, you know, that's our trade, that's our name.
Yeah, well, that's right. Do you remember the cases with Google and especially Microsoft and Yahoo? You know, they were targeting a lot of domain name, well, they're just basically holders, and saying, you know, you can't use our name in any URL. Now, you know, Microsoft and especially Google have not backed down from their policy of not letting other, you know, websites use their name in the URL. So, again, I wouldn't use it. I tell my clients not to use any trademarks in their names when they register URLs. It's not a good practice.
Okay.
You know, are you basically branding?
Yeah. We got the point.
Hijacking.
JD, do you have some? Do you have a follow up, JD?
No, that's it.
Hey, Jason,
anybody
how's
else?
It going?
Hey, Jerry, I'm loving you. You make me hungry every day.
Okay. Yeah. Hey. Anybody else got a question, Jenny? Jenny, do you have a question for Tom?
I don't.
Okay, that's fine.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi there.
Area code 570, do you have a question for Tom? You haven't even said hi yet. Do you want to? 570, here's your chance.
Hi.
Who's this? Do you want to say hello?
It's Carla Porter.
Carla Porter, the famous Carla Porter. Do you want to talk to Tom Shaw?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Carla.
Do you have a question, Carla? That's the idea.
Yeah. No, I'm good right now. I'm holding back for a real zinger.
A real zinger. Okay. So I'll continue then. Tom, do you have something else you'd like to bring up about job boards?
Yeah. Look, who's using Second Life anymore? Are any of you still using, or your clients using?
We never used it. We never used it.
That was lame.
It was scary. Oh, it creeped me out. I didn't like it.
Well, are you guys using MySpace for sourcing these days still?
This is Carla. I have in the past used MySpace a lot, and it was very effective for me.
What do you hire
for,
Carla?
Sort of
drunk college kids?
Yes, that's what I go after. That's my target market. No.
Pimps?
Anything from entry-level through management-level positions. Not, you know, not C-level positions, but very, very good for easy connecting with people, and people seem to just be so responsive when you contact them through social media. It's amazing. So I like it.
We guys all use Twitter as well to do recruiting.
No, no, hold on, Tom. Talk with her about MySpace. You asked about MySpace. Would you like to say something about MySpace?
No, that's it. It's the popularity here in Australia. It's going downhill compared to, you know, the use of Facebook and Twitter, of course. So I'm just wondering if there's a correlation that's happening in the US. Are you still seeing a popularity of the site, or is it decreasing as well?
It's not decreasing. In fact, there's some statistics out there. I wish I had them off the tip of my tongue, but just recently, in fact, I read them. You know, I think the common thought is that the Facebook crowd is the more mature crowd, but actually the average user age is older of MySpace users than it is of Facebook. So there actually is a more mature audience on MySpace, and that could be due to the fact that up until a couple of years ago, Facebook was, you know, locked down to the college age kids. And it's only very recently that that has opened up so that us older people can get on there. But, you know, MySpace never had that type of a restriction, and so you have every age of user on MySpace, and that may be why the average age is older, but you will find a lot of companies have their profiles, a lot of professionals have their profiles. I network with doctors on MySpace, so it's really not just kids. It truly isn't.
What are they doing, selling drugs there?
Exactly, online pharmacy.
Yeah, now listen for a second. Your Twitter, since you don't have a website, your Twitter address is at Carla, K-A-R-L-A underscore Porter. And Tom, come on, help me. We haven't even said your URL yet. What's your URL? What's your company website?
Yeah, look, it's recruitmentdirectory.com.au, .com.au, so it is an Australian site. And my Twitter is, of course, is at Thomas Shaw, so you can certainly follow me on Twitter.
Thomas Shaw, and that's two S's. That's two S's, Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S. S-H-A-W, right?
That's right.
Okay, now your website again is recruitmentdirectory.com.au. Look, we gave the guy who was here last week, was it last week only? We gave him a hard time because he had .co.uk. Mm-hmm. Why do you have the Australian suffix on there for? It's nonsense. Why would you want that?
Look, we operate around a number of countries, and you know, the Australian market is quite good for the .com.au, so it certainly reflects our brand.
Okay, I don't know what you said, but let's leave it at that.
Hey, Bill Borman, though, after the show, he did pick up BillBorman.com.
He did.
Yeah. So
he did.
Everybody check it out.
Okay, Tom, do you want to talk about something else, or should we bring up stuff for you?
Yeah, no. Let's go to Twitter. Let's go to Twitter and recruitment, because I've been talking a lot about this. You know, I ran the webinar, you know, a few weeks ago with over 700 recruiters here in Australia. So,
really?
How are you guys finding Twitter? How are you finding Twitter for recruitment?
Well, we talked about this before. We want to know how you're finding it for recruitment. You're not interviewing us here. We're interviewing you. Come on.
Some of us think it sucks, so convince us that it doesn't.
Yeah. Well. Really, we're found it's just been an explosion here in Australia. Look, the ability to gain information so fast and find candidates has just been astonishing. You know, especially for those niche areas. You know, we're finding nurses, you're finding engineers, you're finding construction workers, managers. The possibilities are endless in Twitter at the moment. We've seen hires galore. I've seen recruiters contact me that did 5 hires last week just off Twitter from a referral. And someone saw the job they posted in the tweet and then contact them directly just by a reply and direct message, and they're followed through for the job. So it actually works.
Hmm.
Now, are they using it by building a talent pool among a bunch of followers, or are they using it as a search engine?
The report I got from – I got both sides of what you're saying. One of them, the candidate found the job by doing keyword searches. In the advanced search. Now, the other one actually got it because they were following the recruiter, and the recruiter tweeted it, and then they picked it up when they were on Twitter. So, you know, both scenarios do work.
So you're hot on Twitter, right?
Yeah, very hot. We're loving it here in Australia. We're absolutely loving it.
Do you know who Jeremiah Ouyang is?
I don't, actually.
Okay, he's a thought leader, visionary guy about social media. He works for Foresters. Anyway, he said if Twitter continues the overhyped direction it's headed in, pretty soon it's going to be a community filled with marketers and celebrities with megaphones. And all the other people who commented on that said it has already jumped the shark. Do you agree?
No, I don't think we are seeing noise, but you're not following the noise because again, it's an opt-in service, so you're opting in for what you want to hear. Really, so you could always just turn those people off if you don't want to hear them. If they're becoming too boisterous and using it as a marketing tool, get rid of them. Just delete them.
Oh, you can never turn it off. See, that's the problem.
Okay.
Okay. Well, explain. You guys have to explain what you're saying. Should I go on with Twitter? Okay, do you have any tips for us?
Well, you know, this is Carla, and actually I agree because the spam is outrageous. But I also agree with the fact that you have an unfollow button. And, you know, there are a lot of articles out there now talking about how it's to your benefit to follow everyone that follows you, to follow them back. However, I think that if your niche is network, you know, multi-level marketing or whatever it is you're into, online marketing, then fine. If that's the way that you want to conduct your online presence, then that maybe that's for you. But I think that when you're talking about an industry such as recruiting or human resources, why would you want that? What is it you're marketing? It's a different ball game. So I'm much in favor of the unfollow button. And lately I've started to clean my own account up and get rid of some of these people who add absolutely zero value to why I'm there. And I'm being much more selective.
I have to agree.
Excellent.
Go ahead, Tom. Tom, you're the guest. You're the star of the show. What do you have to say there?
Yeah, look, I don't follow everyone that follows me. I definitely don't. I'm very selective in what I follow. And I usually pick up most conversations that I want to hear just by doing keyword searches through TweetDeck or something. You know, having advanced Boolean searches is absolutely fantastic. You know, what you're monitoring different conversations. You don't actually have to be involved in it, but you can actually hear what's going on. And that's actually great for recruiters to actually find new business. And we're finding that recruiters monitoring the conversation to gain new business.
Okay. Hey, Tom, what do you think about those busybodies coming on Twitter? The other day, a guy came on. I won't say who it is. Everybody knows him. It's one of Maureen's favorite resources, actually. Guy comes on. He says, "Good morning, folks. What are you going to do today to make yourself better at your business?" And I said, "I'm going to kick your ass, pal. You're not my mother asking me leading questions like that. What am I going to do to make my business better? That's none of your business. If I want to goof off all day, that's my business. Don't look over my shoulder. I don't like that kind of stuff. You know what else I don't like, Tom? I don't like all those people with their stupid quotations all day long. It's driving me crazy. What do you think about that kind of content?"
Well, why are you following them in the first place?
I don't know. They're there. They're on my list. I'll cut everybody off if I have to get rid of those guys. But that's what you're saying. Cut those guys, right?
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
You know, there's a certain amount of politics involved when you cut somebody, okay?
Hey, I got a quick question.
But they're not going to know about it.
What is the tool to use to – I'm looking at my followers and following here. I'm following 700 people, and I've got 590 following. So how do I figure out which of the ones aren't also following me and rub them out?
Well, you can try.
You know what I'll do? I've got the list of Twitter applications, and if you want me to DM that to you afterwards, I'm more than happy to send it to you.
No, let's tell the people.
Somebody
on the show
knows, right?
That friendorfollow.com.
Friendorfollow.com. Okay, everybody, if you're not following me, you're out.
There's another one that I was telling Carla about just a couple of weeks ago. I'll send that to you. I can't remember the name offhand. It starts with an H, and it gives you the ability with just a button to cut everybody at one stroke who's not following you.
I think it's Huitt, H-U-I-T-T. T-E-R, Twitter?
Yeah, something like that, HUITTER.com. I can look it up, but what that is. You can get rid of everybody at a stroke.
It was wonderful. It was such a liberating feeling to click that button.
Oh, you did it, eh? Okay, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of new people here. Area code 561, Florida. Do you want to say hi to Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Who are
you?
Eric Haber, Chase Research Group.
Hey, Eric, at Eric FL. You know, that's a dumb name. I understand the FL's Florida. Your name's Eric Haber. Why don't you use your name, okay?
It didn't cross my mind when I was signing up.
Okay, do you have a question for Tom before the time runs out?
No, I just really appreciate it. He's like an old-school recruiter. It shocked me. I had a call.
He's an old-school recruiter? He's not old-school at all. He's online recruitment.
No. Get old school values.
Okay, and Maureen has just come back, it looks like. She might have gone away. Now, Tom, I was reading an article. You might have seen I was discussing it with Dave Manister. I don't know if he's still here. But it was on his site, ere.net, and it was by our good friend at Research Goddess, the Amy Beth Hale. And she was saying that technology is dumbing people down. And she was really, she didn't say the word, but she was talking about Gen Y. She said that, you know, people can't find each other in a crowd now without texting each other. They don't have the ability to communicate face-to-face, and that a lot of employers are finding the people lacking in communication skills. And she attributes that to the use of social media. I disagree. What do you say?
I actually agree. I'm a user, you know, I might be Gen Y, but I've always been an avid user of the basic communication skills. You know, recruiters can use technology as much as they like to speed up the process and cut down the actual, you know, time it takes to, you know, process an application and so forth. But the basic skills of communication still come into play. You've still got to talk to the candidate. You've still got to talk to the client. You've got to meet both of them and then still make the connection. So, and really, the candidate and the client have to work with you and they've got to like your personality. So personality comes into play. And those basic communication skills never go out of recruitment. It's amazing. I see recruiters all the time saying, I'll just use email to do online communications. I go, no, you've got to pick up the phone. Your phone is still number one tool to do recruitment. It's not your computer, it's your phone. You've got to get back. You can use the computer as much as you like to find resumes, but you still got to contact the person. It's always going to be by phone or by...
And how do you generate business? By phone?
Initially, we'll probably do it by there'll always be a warm lead by contact or even just people calling me, but we'll always follow up by phone. You know, I like to do
email
conversations.
Well, so hold on a sec. Wait a second. Your business comes to you. You don't go out seeking business. Is that what you just said?
Mixed bag. I'd say probably about 50% come in, 50% we go chasing.
Really? 60% comes in and 60% you go chasing, so that's 120% of your business. Is that what you said?
I said 50%. I think it must be the language barrier.
Okay, well, no, I think it's you're so far away that we have a bad phone connection. But anyway, so 50% of the time, you go out looking for people. And that's a great ratio, by the way, to get 50% of your business just coming in the door. So how much of that comes through social media?
I'd say at least 40% of that comes through social media.
Really? That's very nice.
That's because of word of mouth and people passing expertise on one to the next, and they'll trace back through social media to find me and then follow me from there.
So you've branded yourself as the online recruitment guy in Australia. Is that what you've done?
Yep.
Yes, you have. Okay, fine. Now, Sarah Wellstead, in an article also on ERE, she said, which I disagree with, she said that it's more important to be interesting than relevant in order to get people to follow you. She said, what did she say? I disagree, though. I mean, interesting and relevant. I'm following people. You know, if they got something funny to say sometimes, fine. But I'm also looking for people who post interesting things about recruiting or career-related issues. Do you agree with Sarah Wellstead, or do you disagree with Sarah Wellstead?
No, I agree. You've got a huge audience, so you don't actually know if everyone's going to like exactly whatever you're tweeting. Look, I tweet fun stuff, interesting, controversial news, you know, jobs and stuff. But again, you're trying to the tweets you're trying to, you know, put out in the community, you're trying to get conversations going. You know, you can't cater for everyone. You've got to try as much as you can, and that's why she's saying you've got to be both. If you're going to keep going, you know, going to have a straight line saying, I'm only going to talk about nursing or something, you're leaving out everyone else who might be interested in nursing but doesn't want to hear what you've got to talk about nursing all the time. So you've got to have everything. You can't just be one silo.
I tend to disagree with you. I'd say 80% of the time you should be talking about nursing, interesting stuff about nursing.
Animal, is anything ever interesting if it's not relevant to you? I don't know if there's a real difference between those two things. I just don't find things that are interesting that aren't relevant to my experience or my world, or they're just not interesting to me.
So what are you saying, Dave? I'm not following what you're saying. Post whatever's interesting. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, just post things that are interesting to you, and you know, they're relevant to you, and it's just what it's about.
Thank you. Okay. So
does that not make sense?
Well, you're just saying.
That
wasn't
interesting.
No. Here's what Dave said. He said he doesn't care about what his market wants. He just bases it on what's interesting to him. Dave, is that right?
Well, I think that everyone does that. Basically, I mean, you post what's interesting to you, and if it's relevant to other people, and they follow it, and it's interesting.
I know
to them
I've
as well.
Got an audience. I know I've got a show here. I know I have an audience. I can't just let people blab on about anything. I have to keep my audience in mind, and it's the same on Twitter.
And your last
anyway,
piece to me didn't make sense.
I wanted to tell you. Here's another quote. There was a quote of the week. Maureen, we're just going to go a bit over, I think. This guy, Hire Max, he's got a pretty good Twitter page, if you want to go there, Hire Max. And he had this quote, you know, these typical quotes. He's got pretty good stuff, but he had happiness, colon. Happiness is a good bank account, a good cook, and a good digestion. And he puts the person he quoted it from was Jean-Jacques Rousseau. I don't know if you guys went to university. He's a very famous political philosopher, et cetera, from the 1700s. But he also thought was very good was a good spanking from a woman. Apparently, he used to get spanked when he was a kid by his governess, and he never, you know, lost a taste for it. So when this guy posts this thing, I mean, I can't resist telling him that. So, I mean, these quotes are getting to me, as you can tell. You know, Tom, I really appreciate you calling all the way from Australia, staying up until the middle of the night. You're going to be a wreck tomorrow. So I want you to tell us, and maybe you'll address this to Jerry, because I know Jerry's going to talk afterwards about how all this Twitter stuff and social media stuff is nonsense, etc. But for the non-believers, do you want to make some final remarks about what you feel passionate about when it comes to online recruitment?
Yeah, don't diss it till you try it. You've got to try it. You can't just keep knocking the thing and you just keep plunging away and making success out of it.
You talk to Jerry when you say that, okay? Say Jerry.
I was listening. I mean, I thought he was.
Okay.
I mean,
anything
else? He can say it again.
No, that's fine.
Try it. Don't knock it till you try it. That's your message. Is that Tom Shaw's message to the world?
That's my message.
Okay. And if they want to get the details on that message, that's a very noncommittal message, by the way. I have to tell you. It applies to anything. But if they want to get the details, recruitmentdirectory.com.au. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Everybody, say goodbye to Tom, but don't go away. The people who want to talk about sourcing, we're going to be going to the telephone sourcing show with Maureen Sherb. Tom, you're welcome to stay for that if you like, although you're not involved with that. Everybody else, say goodbye to Tom right now.
See you, Tom.
We're going to move on.
Bye, Tom.
See you guys. Tom. Bye.
Cannon through the bathroom window.
Maureen, I cut that short. That's a little too long. There's still some people here. In fact, Tom Shaw. Tom, was I too hard on you during your portion of the show?
I was expecting a little bit lenient. I thought you would be a bit more welcoming, really.
I was a bit soft on you. Is that what you're saying?
No.
No, you just weren't welcoming.
Okay, but listen, since you're still here, you know, you've got Maureen, the queen bee of telephone sourcing. Do you have any sourcing questions that you'd like to ask Maureen? You could steal her stuff and pass it on to your clients.
Yeah, one thing. I actually do have one thing. How do you actually make that initial, break the conversation? You know, what's the best opening line you've had before?
When I'm sourcing names? When I
well,
call the
when,
gatekeeper?
When you're actually,
she
yeah,
works
when
best,
you call
Tom,
the gatekeeper.
Let me just interject. Let me interject for a minute. Tom, she works best if you give her a very concrete example. I'm looking for this kind of person. You tell her that. Set it up like that.
I'm looking for an accountant.
All right. Tom, and do you know what companies you'd like to find that accountant in?
Yes, I do. And
that's how I work.
What about the icebreaker?
What about what?
What's the icebreaker to actually, you know, get into the conversation? Is it going to be, hi, I'm Maureen from such and such, or is it just directly into a question?
When I call a company, I will say to them, she'll answer, she'll say her name, I'll repeat her name back to her, and I'll say, this is Maureen Cherub, can you please direct me to?
Okay.
And
yep,
that's how it goes, very straightforward. And what I'm doing at that point is I'm testing her to see what she'll do, how much she'll tell me, how far I can push.
Direct you to who? Who, though? What do you say?
Well, I don't know. I was asking him some questions to delineate that. Tom, the way I work, I ask my customers if they have a list of companies they want me to penetrate, a specific list of locations. They give me that list. I set the job up. I call into those specific offices, and I will be looking for, in your case, the accountants that are on the inside. And I ask
Yep.
you about what it is you're looking for. You're looking for, you're probably looking for folks with CPAs. And we set it up that way. Does that answer your question?
It's a very cold calling environment.
It's a very cold calling environment. I'm not often talking to the accountants. I get a lot of my information from people on the inside about the accountants. And once I have a soft feel for the group or the bunch of people I'm after, then I may go at some of those accountants to make sure I have everyone.
Yeah, that's fine, but that certainly answered my question. Yeah, that's a good question.
That's the only question you have?
That was a good question.
Oh, I've got more. No, we've got.
Tom,
some,
that's
you know,
how Michael
your,
is.
Right.
You just have to roll with him.
I know that. I've listened to too many shows.
I'll give you a lead. You want to ask her another question?
I do. I've got one more question, Maureen.
Okay.
Now, I know in Australia here we now have do not call registers where we can't. Well, they're trying to introduce into business where you can't actually call a business and try talking to someone. Do you have that sort of problem in the U.S. at all or not?
We don't. To my knowledge, we don't have do not call business lists. We do have do not call home numbers, but I don't get involved in any of that.
Yep. Nobody abides by that anyway.
Really, nobody abides by that.
Yeah, apparently for
I think all it does is give people just another list to call.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, call me. This is a real number. In Canada, there's the list that CRTC, the Canadian Radio and Television Commission, they've put out. They govern all the communication in Canada, and there's a list, a marketing list. Don't call us. Apparently, it has no results at all. So, and it's only residential, not for business.
What are the penalties, do you know? I often wonder about that, but
penalty.
If you ask them who they are, they don't want to tell you who they are.
Anyway, but that's not business. It's not relevant to us.
All right.
Maureen, is there something you'd like to generate? There's a few people here. Maybe you want to ask them.
Well, is there anyone else that have any questions?
Eric Haber is here, and Dave Manister, I think, is still with us.
Oh, good.
Us.
Is there
Eric,
anyone else that has any questions about telephone?
Ask Eric. This is a first-time caller. I didn't announce that. Eric, do you have a website? Oh, he's gone. Okay, no, Jenny's here. Jenny, I was mistaken. Jenny Devon, the cheerleader, is here.
Hello. Rah-rah Jen is here.
How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good.
Any
did you
No, you don't want to lose even more people, okay?
Jenny, were you one of the guests on the chat yesterday? We had people coming in and out in that new chat format. We can't tell who's who.
I missed it, and I've been frustrated with the chat as well.
Yeah. Well, we have the chat posted. It was mostly Animal and myself, but it was a pretty good chat.
Good
we
stuff.
Talked.
Yeah.
So you read it today? It's over on the Magic Method Network.
Yes.
Okay. Good. We were Animal. You said you wanted
to
talk about
the
different
something?
Gates.
Let's just people like. Let's tell Tom. We know it's like 3:30 or something like that in Australia.
That he
if
can
you
go to
want
bed?
To stay, if you want to stay on, that's fine. But if you want to just drop off. Feel free. I mean, we have hearts here, you know, in North America. We feel for you. You have to go through a whole day tomorrow or whenever it is. So if you just disappear, don't feel like you're being rude, okay? Right, Maureen?
We'll understand.
Okay. Just want to let them know. Go ahead.
You know, we used to have those midnight chats, and I used to lay awake waiting for them. And then by the time they came, I was falling asleep during them. Anyway, does anybody else have any questions about phone
sources?
I do. I have a question.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I love Maureen's techniques because they're always old school techniques, never deceptive, things like that. How are you using Twitter with in combination with your telephone sourcing to get information, to feel out
Jenny,
an organization?
I'm not.
You're not.
I just find Twitter. I mean, I'm using Twitter, but I'm not finding it to source people. Again,
okay.
Nowadays, the fastest way for me to source is to pick up the phone and call into that office rather than going to the Internet. I find Twitter, you know, you ask a question on Twitter, and very often you don't get an answer. Nobody's talking back and forth. It's like they're on autopilot, and I suspect there is a lot of auto-posting going on. How are you using it?
I'm using it. I thought I would be using it for candidate development. It's turned into client development. I've been getting
a
lot of business from it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The sales cycle to me has been shorter. To get to the contacts, to get to decision makers, they're more open in the Twitter arena than they would be if I cold called them and left them a voicemail.
Oh, that's interesting.
Maureen, ask her for a sample. Example.
Jenny, can you give us an example?
I can. I was tweeting for my baby planning business and just tweeting great content, trying to be engaging, not tweeting about spanking or quotes or anything like that.
Not like that guy with Russo.
No, trying to tweet, you know, articles that are relevant for new moms and working mothers and things like that. Very, very distinctive stream. Mm-hmm. And Graco saw it, reached out to me, said, you know, we're moving our offices to Atlanta. We'd like to engage with you. Okay, great. Let's get on a call on Monday. And so we've already engaged in a partnership when they relocate here. And that can definitely help me on the recruiting side because hopefully they'll want to hire. Not everyone's going to want to relocate from Pennsylvania to Atlanta. So it's been great all around. And I would have never, if I would have cold called the Graco all day long, I would have never probably gotten that type of business or relationship.
I'm not saying it can't work or it won't work. I'm just not using it to an extent that it is working for me.
But how would
it
work, Maureen, in sourcing at all? I mean, how would it work?
I don't know. You put out a tweet.
Do you have an idea, Jenny?
For me, I would find a contact and maybe direct message them and say, you know, who do you know that, you know, does this or how is your accounting, you know, organization structured? And I always use, you know, my boss wanted me to find this information. If you can help me, please do, you know. And they usually give me that little tidbit of information that I need. But I just wanted to see how Maureen's using it.
I could see where it could work. I just think there's an awful lot of upfront work that would have to go into it to make it work.
I don't see how that could work. Tom, are you still with us? No.
I don't see how it could work.
I'm going to talk to some total stranger and say, "Can you tell me the structure of your organization?" He's going to tell me.
Well, that's
you don't
true.
Ask that way, but I mean, I establish a relationship. I don't go for the goods right away. I don't try to get a withdrawal. I make deposits into people. I send them interesting things. I talk about them. We have conversations. We might be talking about the Yankees one week and talking about our kids the next week. I make deposits.
It takes a lot of time developing. I mean, when I have a job, I get it in. I usually get it done within a couple of days, and it's out. I don't have the time to develop
it.
Most of our target clients, though, I mean, in Atlanta, everyone's calling them. You know, everyone's trying to build relationships with them. And so Twitter, to me, is just a different way to do it. If I had your phone sourcing techniques, yeah, absolutely, I'd pick up the phone and call versus using Twitter.
Yeah, I don't see it working for me because of that context. But if you're working a biz development, yeah, I can see it working. I think any chat forum is great for that. And Animal tells me that Twitter is pretty much dominating chat these days.
Really?
What do you think?
I think, I mean, ever since recruiting blogs kind of went down, I mean, that's how I contact with people that I met off recruiting blogs or keep in touch with the recruiting sphere is through Twitter.
Right, exactly. Did you enjoy the chat function?
I love the chat function.
I know,
yes.
I do too.
And it filters out noise. I like chat function on recruiting blogs or on your site because those are 10 people I really want to hear from.
Right.
Twitter, I have to use all the tools to constantly filter out the crap and the noise and the things I don't think are interesting.
I know. You know, I often think, you know, all of this stuff has evolved into videos and this and that, and I think to myself, you know, if I wanted to be on TV, I would have been on TV. I just want to sit at my computer and type and talk on the phone. Maybe I'm missing something.
Twitter is great for me, though, because, you know, I have a two-year-old. I have a son that's turning one on Friday. It's great for me because it's very easy for me to pretend like I'm living online when I'm really functioning as a working mom.
Yeah.
It helps me see that. But I have to run, but I wanted to say hey and try to stay on for a little
bit. I'm glad you came by.
Thank you, Animal. Always
tell us your Twitter. It's no longer Virtual Recruit, right?
No, I had to change it for that same reason because all they thought I could do was recruiting, and I really started to do social media training. So I changed it to Jenny Devaughn, DEVAUGHN.
Okay.
Straight Jenny Devaughn. Okay.
Bye, Jenny.
Bye. Thanks so much.
We'll see you later.
Take care.
Bye. Anybody else have any questions about telephone sourcing?
Dave Manister's still here.
Good.
Dave, do you want to learn something about telephone sourcing?
I do, but I'm learning mostly by listening. I don't really have a lot of questions.
Well, I'll
Dave, Dave, that's the best way to learn.
No, it isn't.
What?
I'm just like a mouse. I just, you know, quiet in the corner listening.
Well, Maureen, you raised some stuff yesterday that I can pitch back to you today.
Okay.
You said there's three different kinds of gatekeepers, right?
There are probably more, but we just pulled three out of the hat for discussion yesterday. Angry Agnes?
I don't
like
when you give them names. Just use the adjective. No names. No Agnes.
Why?
I don't
angry?
Like it. It's corny. Yeah, the angry lady.
I don't think it's corny. Angry Agnes makes sense to me. But okay. What do you want to call her, anger chick? Call her that.
Okay.
Is that better?
Anger babe?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Whatever you want, Animal.
That's number one. There's the angry gatekeeper. Who's next?
Okay. There was helpful Hannah.
Yeah.
But, again, how would you change that?
Just she's helpful. Okay.
Helpful.
Next.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there was resistant Rita.
Okay.
Well,
would
you change
one.
That?
This is kind of like the three bears, right? You've got the resistant one. You've got the angry one. And the helpful one. And resistant, you just mean she doesn't hate you right off the bat, but she's not giving you everything you want right away either. Is that what you mean?
Right. The resistant one?
Yeah.
Yeah. You sense when you call a gatekeeper, you'll sense pretty fast, immediately almost, what you have on the other end. You can hear it if she's angry. You can hear it if she's resistant. And you can usually hear it if she's going to be helpful. The first 3 to 5 seconds... you know, you may not believe that, but the first 3 to 5 seconds of a conversation
will
usually
reveal that. Well, she says, what do you want? I know that it's, you know, what do you want? No. You know she's angry, right?
No, it's more of a terseness in her voice. It's not so much what she says as much as the terseness.
Okay, well, what I was going to suggest was that you run through these people and you sort of give your technique for dealing with each one. If there's a automatic reaction that you have that helps you adjust to and manage your relationship with each one of these gatekeepers.
All right. Well, let's start with helpful Hannah because we pretty much covered Agnes, angry Agnes yesterday.
Well, we might have, but you start wherever
you want.
We can
go back.
You got to realize this is a different venue from yesterday.
All
right. Totally different audience if anyone listens at all.
All right. Well, helpful Hannah, she'll answer the phone and she'll sound very kind of laid back and generally. And she'll usually tell me her name and I'll repeat her name to her and I'll say, hi, Hannah, this is Maureen Cherub. I'm trying to locate the whatever it is I'm sourcing for. Can you help me? And with that, she might say, sure, what is it you need? Or she might say, well, who is it you want me to transfer you to? Do you have a name? You know, once that comes up, then I know Helpful Hannah isn't going to be as helpful as I had originally hoped. But there are different ways of dealing with each of the three, Helpful Hannah, Resistant Rita, and Angry Agnes. But Helpful Hannah, sometimes you'll call a gatekeeper, and she'll say that, sure, what is it can I help you with? And you'll say, well, I'm trying to reach the RF design team. Can you tell me who the manager is for that group? Sure, that's so-and-so. Well, can you transfer me to him? Well, he's not in. You want me to transfer you to his supervisor? Sure, that would be great, Hannah. And off I go. Off I go. And she transfers me to a voicemail, inevitably a voicemail. Remember, 8 out of 10 calls end up in a voicemail, and I'll zero back to her after I've listened to the voicemail for the information that it contains, and I'll say to her, Hannah, that was great, but I hit his voicemail. Is there anybody else in the group? And then we go through that. Animal, you've heard me talk about that many times. Do you want me to go over that again?
You can if you like, but nobody has a real problem with the helpful one. They have problems with the resistant and the
okay.
angry one.
Resistant Rita. Resistant Rita will say, she might have originally been a helpful Hannah that turned into a resistant Rita when she said, do you have a name? We only have names here at the front desk. Well, the fact of the matter is she doesn't only have names. She has names, titles, extensions. She's usually lying to you when she tells you that. So what you do is you pass over that remark of hers and you say, Rita, I do have a name. Now, remember, Animal, you have a name because why? You prepared before the call. You went online. You looked in your old notes. You did whatever it is you had to do to gather some information about that location before you made the call. And you say to her, well, Rita, yes, I do have a name. Can you transfer me to Jim Peterson? Well, he's no longer here. Okay, she's still resisting. Well, Rita, can you tell me who the manager is for RF Engineering now? Now, all of a sudden, she recognizes that I know a little more than the average caller who calls in that's looking for the manager of RF Engineering. Are you following me, Animal?
You know a little extra because you had that one name. Is that what you're
because
saying?
Because I had that one name, or I may have more names. I haven't revealed what's in my quiver yet.
Uh-huh.
So I catch her attention with that, and she may at that point say, well, Tom Reed now is the manager for RF Engineering. Do you want me to transfer you to him? At which time I'll acquiesce, and I'll say, that would be great, Rita. Before you do, can you tell me, in case I get disconnected, can you give me an extension number? Now, there's a variety of reasons why I want that extension number, but one of them is because that extension number will reveal an internal dial system or begin to reveal an internal dial system to me, which is information I'm keenly interested in, because I may have to fall back to what I call stabbing in, which is when I just dial directly into the company, bypassing those gatekeepers altogether and reaching anybody who happens to sit at the end of the extension I'm dialing.
Okay, now just for people who don't know, companies have their front desk number and they have their direct dial numbers to the people in the company, and they're usually different.
They're not always different, but many times they are different. I guess you could use the word usually, but about half and half the times. The front desk number and the internal dial system will use the same prefix.
Okay.
Sometimes they will not use the same prefix, and one clue as to what prefix they are using on the inside is to look at their fax number, because sometimes if the fax number prefix is different from the main dial number, that fax number prefix might be the key to the internal dial system.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know that. That makes sense, though. Okay.
Yeah. And if that's not it, and sometimes it's not, just go online and type in the area code of the office you're calling, the name of the company, and many times posts will come up from people that have posted online that when they've included their name, telephone number, you know, contact information.
That works sometimes and sometimes not.
That works more for me than anything else.
Really?
Yeah, checking online. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else? Do you want to continue or do you have to be prompted?
I have to be prompted.
Well, what about the angry chick?
Angry Agnes, okay. Angry Agnes is ticked off for a variety of reasons. She could have a boss that's non-communicative that people call in, and he tells her, don't pass any calls to me unless you know who's calling and what their extension or what their phone number is, and I don't want to talk to them directly. I want some time to gather my wits before I call them back, so only give me people who call with their numbers. So her job is to lie to people, say, no, he's not in, but can I have him return your call? And, of course, you know, that song and dance, and she hands him a post-it note that says, call so-and-so, he'll be in the office from 2 to 4, and, of course, her boss doesn't call the guy. So the guy calls back the next day. Why didn't he call me? Didn't you give him the message? So she has a lot to answer for because she has a boss that doesn't want to talk
to
anyone.
You know what? Okay, we got the picture.
Okay. She might be angry because she doesn't want to be working.
I don't want to know why she's angry. I want to know what you do with her.
All right. She answers the phone. This is Angry Agnes at ABC Corporation. Can I help you? Right away, I know I have a problem on my hands. And I'll say to her, Agnes, this is Maureen Cherub. Can you transfer me too? I immediately go to my notes with people like that. Usually, I will look down at my notes, find somebody on the inside, because I don't really want to deal with her. She takes too much effort. She takes too much angst on my part. So I just want to get inside. So I'll look at my notes and ask her to transfer me to someone on the inside so that I don't have to deal with her too much. But if she forces me to deal with her, I will. And the way I deal with her is I'm pretty laid back. I don't demand anything of her. I ask her for her help. If she gives me any inclination of her, how she feels, or how can I put this? If she gives me any indicator that she's dissatisfied or frustrated.
Having a hard day?
Yeah, I'll say something like, I'm sorry to bother you, but can you? And then ask her to do whatever it is I'm looking for her to do. So Angry Agnes I generally try to avoid, but if I have to deal with her, I do so gently. I never point out that, why are you angry?
You're a bit submissive.
I am. I'm submissive. That's a good word for that. I never point out that she's angry because she doesn't want to. She doesn't think it shows. And she would just get angrier if I said something
to
her, like,
yeah.
Why are you talking to me like this? Or, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
You
and
don't
some
call
people
it the B-word.
Do. They call other people on the carpet, you know, about their behaviors.
I don't know anything about that.
No, you wouldn't. Ask your guests, right?
Right. He didn't want
the ones
to talk
who won't
to me.
Come back.
He was asking us questions about the United States. What's the point of that? You're calling from Australia to ask
Tom?
Me questions?
Well, he'll listen to a few shows and then
let me ask you something.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. So remember I was telling you about having to call sales reps with office equipment background, right?
Yes, yes.
Now they got a lot of them online on LinkedIn, but most of those people, when you call them, they're no longer with the company because people
That's
don't
right.
maintain their LinkedIn profiles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that an office in a large city for office equipment sales reps is going to have quite a large number of sales reps in there. Am I right or wrong about that?
Yes, in a large city, office equipment reps, yes. Less today than a couple years ago, but yes, pretty good number.
How would you access that many people if you're targeting everybody in the office?
Again, you start at the front desk. Can you transfer? You've got a name from LinkedIn. Let's say the guy's no longer there. Can you transfer me to Susan Marks? Well, she's left the company. Can you tell me who's replaced her? Well, no, but I can transfer you to her old manager. Off I go to the old manager. I hit his voicemail. Why? 8 out of 10 calls end up in voicemail. I come back to her. I got his voicemail. Is there anybody else in that group you might transfer me to? You know, I keep saying this, but it's very, it's like being on autopilot. It's a technique, and it's very effective, but it's very time-consuming, but you're just assembling information. Until you get to the point where maybe you're 3, 4, 5 names in, you know, you've been transferred to different people's voicemails 3 or 4 or 5 times, where you can say to her, I'm really having a tough time reaching anybody. Have we tried everyone in the group? And by the time you're back to her on the third or fourth or fifth time, you're kind of friends with her. You know, I mean, she's attempting to help
you. You're friends with her, or you're her enemy because you're bugging her so much?
Well, it's how you interpret it, and it's how you interact with her. You can tell if she's going to help you after the first or after the second or third transfer, whether or not. You can hear in her voice if she's going to continue to be cooperative. And at some point, she'll get to the point where she figures, I mean, she doesn't think this in her head, but what happens is she thinks, God, I've spent all this time trying to help this person. I'm just going to finish the job. So when you ask her, have we tried everyone in the group? She might say, there's 36 people in the group. Boom, I've got that information. I know there's 36 people in the group. I don't think she's going to give me all 36, but I'm going to keep pushing her to transfer me to one at a time for as long as she will.
Now, before I might get, I don't think I will get cut off, but I'm near to the end of my calling card, which I'm using to call the States for this call. So in case I disappear, just don't think that I've left you stranded. You sign off and say goodbye to everybody, right?
All right.
But, that's it, if I don't answer.
What time is it? We can finish early.
No, I have one asked. These are mine. This is a question for me. I have a question. This is going to be the last question. So you know that she says there's 36 people there. You don't figure you're going to get them. What do you do?
I never figure I'm not going to get them. I always figure I am going to get them. But,
what do you think? Can you run all the names by me? 36 people?
No, I don't say it like that.
Why do you want to talk to this person?
Exactly, because I don't want to raise any flags. I don't want her asking me, why do you want to talk to all these people? I'll just keep pushing her gently. Hit voicemail again. Can you transfer me to somebody else? Let's try the next one on the list.
Well, the idea is there that you're looking for a sales rep. Is that the idea?
I don't know what her idea is. I haven't told her anything other than what I've told you.
Okay.
I don't know what is going on in her mind. That's the beauty of phone sourcing. You don't know what's going on in their mind. You just keep going in the direction that you're paddling for as long as you can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yeah, any closing statements for you?
No. I think we've covered enough for today.
You know what? That was very interesting. That was a very good show. I know you don't get it, but that was very valuable information. Let's say goodbye to Dave Manister from ERE.
Thanks, Dave, for coming.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, and
I'll thank,
I don't know why he was interested in that, but I'll thank after the fact, Thomas Shaw from Australia, recruitmentdirectory.com.au. And Maureen, you and I shall talk another time. Bye-bye,
okay, you're
going to
put
everybody.
This up on
there.
You can talk to me. You can talk to me.